This morning's scripture reading comes from the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and verses 22 through 31. Doesn't wisdom cry out and understanding shout? Atop the heights along the path, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. By the gate before the city, at the entrance, she shouts, saying, I cry out to you, people. My voice goes out to all humanity. Wisdom says, the Lord created me at the beginning of His way, before His deeds long in the past. I was formed in ancient times, at the beginning, before the earth was. For there were no watery depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs flowing with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, wisdom says, I was brought forth. Before God made the earth and the fields or the first of the dry land, I was there when God established the heavens, when He marked out the horizons on the deep sea, when He thickened the clouds above, when He secured the foundations of the deep, when He set a limit for the sea so the water couldn't go beyond His command, when He marked out the earth's foundations. I, wisdom, was beside Him as a master of crafts. I was having fun, smiling before Him all the time, frolicking with His inhabited earth and delighting in the human race. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, have you responded to the inspiration Abram offered us last week? Have you gone forth? Have you embarked on your own voyage of discovery? Perhaps you were inspired enough to set out, but you've already come to a crossroads. You might be finding yourself wondering which way to turn now. A few directional signs might be helpful. Voyagers across the ages have gone places where they had not been before, places where nobody had been before. How were they to find their way without the benefit of road signs or maps or GPS? They had to be able to find some constant point of orientation and learn how to find their way based upon that. The traditional navigation used by indigenous peoples of Polynesia is referred to as wayfinding. The ancient Polynesians and Pacific Islanders mastered wayfinding to explore and settle on the islands of the Pacific. Wayfinders were able to navigate the ocean as well as they could navigate their own land. Despite the dangers of being at sea for a long time, wayfinding was a way of life. Wayfinding. Knowing where you're going and how to get there. Knowing which streets go nowhere. Wandering in a maze of detours and dead ends. Knowing which streets are tried and true paths that will lead you toward the true and lasting joy which is found in right relationship with others and with God. The book of Proverbs might be thought of as a handbook of wayfinders. The Proverbs appear to be just a grab bag of wise sayings lacking coherence or a unifying theme or overarching structure. Each pithy proverb stands alone with little more than a nodding acquaintance with those surrounding it. Closer examination, however, reveals the presence of an image that dominates and frames the entire book. That image is seen in the personification of wisdom. Throughout Proverbs, it is wisdom that guards us from the not-so-good street. In fact, Proverbs tells us that wisdom stands at the crossroads, atop the heights and along the path. By the gates, by the entrances, wisdom shouts directions. It kind of sounds like wisdom is God's directional sign, posted along our way, where we need it, on the street, at the crossroads, beside the gates through which we're pondering entering. Wisdom stands ready to protect us from choosing streets that go nowhere, dead ends, in a maze of wrong turns. Besides being posted where we need it, wisdom is information that is relevant to the situation in which we find ourselves. It is applicable and needed now in the moment in which we stand. It's what you might call being streetwise. A Buddhist story is told of a learned scholar who set out on a long, difficult sea voyage. Desiring to impress the crew with the depth of his learning, he would stop and question the sailors as they went about their duties. "Tell me, my good man," he would ask a sailor, "have you studied philosophy?" The sailor would answer, "Oh, no, I'm just a simple sailor. I only know how to sail this ship from one shore to another." The scholar would reply, "You poor man, you have wasted half your life." The following day, the scholar would again question a sailor, "Have you studied geometry, my good man?" The sailor would reply again, "No, sir, I'm sorry, I just rigged the sails and steered the ship." The scholar would again shake his head in despair and say only, "You poor fellow, dwelling in ignorance, you are wasting so much of your life." Day after day, the questions would go on. "Have you studied anthropology, zoology, psychology?" The sailor would only shake his head in denial. Well, one night, the ship floundered in a storm. The scholar was found anxiously watching the crashing waves, grasping tightly to the mast. The sailor approached the scholar and asked him, "Have you, my good man, by any chance studied swimology?" In puzzlement, the scholar could only shake his head. "That's really too bad," the sailor said. "You've wasted your whole life because this ship is sinking." Street smarts, wisdom. It is what you need to know when you need to know it. What you need to know to keep you afloat in the waters of the storm that rise around you. It's more than facts. It's even more than truth. Wisdom is truth for living. So how do we miss it? How do we not hear the call of wisdom as it cries to us? Well, it's a matter of focus. God's wisdom is not the only word on the street. Research tells us that people with higher IQs filter out nonsensical information and focus just on the important stuff. It also applies to wisdom. The one who is wise will filter out the non-essential words on the street. Wisdom focuses on and follows the guidance posted by God at the crossroads and by the gate you are about to enter. With all of the relevance of a beware of dog sign, a bridge out, or thin ice sign, the wisdom of God is posted beside our way to guide our wayfinding. Hearing wisdom's cry depends that we focus on God's guidance for our journey by filtering out those non-essential messages, even messages that are a reflection of intelligence or not, need to be filtered. Sometimes messages that have popular appeal need to be filtered out because it drowns out wisdom's cry. Listening to messages that have ulterior motives, not always for your best good or the highest good of all, these are not the voice of wisdom. Hearing wisdom's cry is more than focus. It's also a matter of deeper awareness. Discerning the guidance of wisdom requires looking and seeing beyond the surface of what meets the eye. The psalmist saw the same stars everybody else saw. The difference was the psalmist looked up at the skies and he heard unspoken truth proclaimed in all of it. With that same focus and depth of seeing, we must hear the call of wisdom, cries that are heard all along our way. When we look deeper, when we look more intently, we will see the wisdom of God posted everywhere along our way, posted in just the place you need it, at the crucial crossroads of life, as a word of caution on the gate that you're about to go through. Wisdom for the moment when we need to hear it and what we need to hear in that moment. Wisdom's guidance will be heard when we give deep attention to all that God created, with wisdom standing alongside. Wisdom's guidance will transform us from smart to wise, from wanderer to wayfinder. Julian Klassens tells us how the closing verses of the reading of this proverb for today presents us with the image of wisdom as a giggling, joyful little girl who laughs when God shows her God's new creation. Wisdom's followers are called to play as wisdom plays. Some see in this playfulness associated with wisdom an important theological principle that assumes that pleasure and playfulness are built into the very structure of things, making possible a spirit of discovery and generosity that implies that woman wisdom opens up the world rather than closes it down. This readiness to be open to new experiences also has theological implications when believers are encouraged to recognize that God may be about new things for new times and new places. Klassens goes on to say that we need to embrace wisdom this way, and it is truly transformative as it implies a whole new outlook on life, the universe, and everything in it. But if wisdom tells us anything, it tells us that life is not always a joy in and of itself. Wisdom tells us that the world can be, for all of us, chaos at one time or another. The text also professes that in spite of the reality of the watery chaos, God assigns limits to the ocean, telling the waters not to transgress God's commandment. You see, it is within this world where chaos threatens to overtake that wisdom is sent to do her work alongside God. Indeed, as we know all too well, our own little worlds can be disrupted by forces beyond our control, creating havoc in terms of our neatly constructed lives. It is by means of wisdom, a lot of wisdom, that the world becomes a habitable place, which makes it possible for people to live a good life. To heed wisdom's call today is to look for ways in which wisdom's children, all of us, as wisdom's children, may serve as created co-creators who actively work to be wayfinders, to, in some small way, find our way and bring life to situations where the forces of chaos loom large. When we come to a crossroads, let us have wisdom to ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and let us have the courage and the wisdom to walk in it. For the promise of God is that when wayfinders follow the voice of wisdom, we will find rest for our souls. Amen.